Welcome to the Apprentice Approach Podcast, Episode 15, where the ripples far exceed the splash. This is your host, Jack McQuinion. Many Christians struggle with making disciples. They feel busy, overwhelmed, and not qualified. We understand this struggle, which is why we've created a Bible-based framework so any believer can master the art of disciple-making. Today's episode is part one in a series on marriage, family, and disciple-making. We get the privilege of talking with Terry and Leah Green, who have been happily married for over 54 years and hold all kinds of wisdom from their life experiences in being small business owners, parents, grandparents, and of course, following Christ. They've led Marriage Getaway, a marriage retreat at the Glen Erie Conference Center for 14 of their retreats, 25 years, and are in staff with an advocate. Basically, they are the most humble experts you'll ever meet. That's why we've asked them all the hard questions that you want to know about disciple making and marriage. You're welcome. But really, it was fun to sit down with Terry and Leah, talk about some real practical ways they've found to maintain perspective as they continue to make disciples and disciple makers. And the best part, doing it all alongside the love of their lives. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Apprentice Approach Podcast. We're here with Terry and Leah Green, a dear couple, great friends, and I believe one of the significant forces here at Glen Erie. They have had impact with a large number of couples throughout the years, and we're excited to glean a little bit what they've learned over the years in terms of our marriage getaway retreats. I think you've done them for 13 years now?
Yes.
13 going on 25, I think. Yeah. Well, you've been married for 50 years.
Yep.
Wow.
54 years.
54 years. So tell us, I've got a slew full of grandkids as well. Tell us a little bit about your tribe.
Well, Leah knows more about that than I do, or keeps count of it more than I do, so I'm going to let her answer that one.
We have 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren.
Wow, that's amazing. And you had tell us about before you came to work at Glen Erie, you had a successful business, and you've really were ingrained in that that community. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Okay. We were in a smaller town in southern New Mexico, and we were both in the insurance business, but kind of on two different ends of the insurance business. I was in the life insurance and investment part, and Leo was in the health insurance business, although we shared the same office. We went to work basically at the same location every day, and then came home and lived with each other at the end of those days.
Wow. That's amazing. So, 54 years. Tell us, are there any secrets to longevity like that?
Well, we've decided that from the very beginning that love is a choice.
Huh.
And we love telling people that 54 years ago, we chose the one we love. And we've spent the last 54 years learning to love the one we chose.
Huh.
And that's day to day.
Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of choices.
Yeah.
Right. One big yes and a lot of little mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. As time goes along, you figure that out.
Well, all kidding aside, we've been excited to have you both on the show to talk about some real-life practical habits and tools not only to stay healthy in marriage, but as you disciple others and as you've also lead a family. So let's start there. What have been some of the rhythms and or helpful habits you found that have kept you healthy and focused on Christ?
Well, I personally wasn't discipled until later in life. I was 45 years old, but we were churched during most of that time in learning some of those, what we thought were basics, but we had to relearn those whenever discipleship came into the picture. Mm. And that was really life-changing, if I can say that, for both of us, was going back to the basics. I remember someone once said that I think it was Lauren Sandy, said you never want to stray too far from the basics. Mm. And so we thought we had basics, but once discipleship came into our life, and we figured out that, wait a minute, there's more to this than just the church life. That really changed us. And so by putting some basics into our life really helped us, you know, the basic, what we would consider to be quiet time, keeping scripture and prayer involved in our life as in our marriage, not just individually, made a huge difference in us.
Yeah. Leah, you know, through the seasons of life, from small kids to teens to adult children, all these different seasons, have you continued to make disciples and subsequently see them become disciple makers?
Well, like Terry said, we didn't really even understand what discipleship was until later in life, and our children were actually grown at the time. But we believe we walked in the light that we had.
Okay.
And when once we committed our life to Christ, and he graciously honored that in our parenting as well as in our marriage. But as we continued to seek the Lord, we were just amazed at his faithfulness in bringing other people into our lives that could teach us how to apply, not just to know the Word of God, but how to apply the Word of God and how to commune with God in prayer. And that really came in a powerful way through discipleship.
Can you think of one specific thing that, you know, as our listeners are in the middle of, or midstream of life and are up to their eyeballs in activities, and can you think of something that that occurred with you guys that might be helpful for them?
Well, we came to Glen Eyrie to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary, and that was our first introduction to discipleship. Jack and Carol Mahal were leading the marriage retreat, and were sharing about discipleship. So when we got home, Terry was telling the owner of our Christian bookstore in our little town about our experience, and he said, well, you know, there is a navigator here in Alamogordo. Hmm. So Terry may share a little bit more about that, but Terry started meeting with Max Waymink, and he started discipling Terry. What I noticed in Terry's life through his time with Max was such a greater commitment to Jesus Christ as he began to spend more and more time with the Lord in the Word and prayer. And I remember asking Terry to share with me what Max was sharing with him.
Hmm.
So it was really pretty cool because Max was discipling Terry and Terry was discipling me.
Hmm.
And so that made it so meaningful for our marriage too. But I think we just began to realize it didn't matter where we were in our marriage, in our family, in some of the trials we were going through, in the pressures of the insurance business. We came to a place through time in the Word and time in prayer together in knowing that we could walk through anything with the Lord.
Oh,
and that grew daily.
That's great. That confidence grew daily.
Yes,
that you could
did.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, so talk to us about that. That was, from you know what I've heard in the past, that was a very impressionable time for you. And what are some of the things that really stood out to you during that time that you have carried forward, and as you've met with men, continue to drill into them in the same way?
I think, for me, being with someone who was living what they talked about, not just preaching it, it was an act of life that I saw in Max's life that was really appealing to me. There was nothing physically about him that was attractive, but he was a guy you could tell he'd spent his life in the Word and being obedient to that. And so it was like his core. No matter what you talked about, this is where he always ended up. And that was trusting God, walking with God, following God. And how are you going to do that if you don't spend time in the Scripture? You don't spend time in prayer, praying about that, developing that personal relationship with God. And so I had been around church all that time, but I had never heard anything like that, that relationship. I knew it was there, but I didn't know how to develop that. So I had some skill, but it had never been developed, if I can say that. And so that's what Max did for me. He always brought motive into the picture. he would say, let's talk about scripture memory, not just how to memorize a scripture, mm-hmm. but why would you want to do that? What's the driving force behind memorizing scripture? It's not just intellectual. It's a life-changing process. And so those are the types of issues that he walked me through for 3 years, and I was able to then share with Leah, and it just started bringing what we would call spiritual intimacy into the marriage that had never been there before. There were other types of intimacy, but spiritual intimacy started growing between us, and we couldn't recognize that immediately, but we can look back now and see that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, and then you've actually had a chance to engage with other couples down in New Mexico before you actually moved up here. Talk to us about that time.
Well, those were times where I think we were getting our feet wet, if I can say that, in that concept where all of a sudden we started having people that would ask us questions about, it was almost like, well, how did you get where you are, or how are you getting where you're going? Those types of things. And there was a big question mark at that. We just knew that we needed to be obedient where we were. Mm-hmm. And so as we would learn something and be with other couples, then we could share some things with them that seemed to be making a difference. But it always came out of the Word of God. What was he saying to us? And how could we then pass that along?
Mm-hmm. I know over the years you've had a lot of younger men come to you and ask you to disciple them, and we don't always say yes, but I do know that as you've prayed over those things, there are some things that pop up to you, characteristics that you look for before you say yes. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think a lot of characteristics originally when you meet somebody is face value, and a lot of men would ask, can you spend some time with me and disciple me, without really understanding what the definition of discipleship was. And so for me, it was a matter of getting to, I would always say yes to that question. Let's get together and chat about, you know, where are you? I need to know a little bit more about you, and what is it that you're after? What are the priorities in your life, and where do you want to be in the future where you're not today when it comes to walking with God? And so as we spend time together, the things that I try to look for and try to instill is that that person needs to have some characteristics that fit what I would consider to be absolutes to be able to be a disciple. Okay. And the first one is, are they hungry? Do they really want to know something? Are they available? In other words, do our timelines, our time schedules match up? And are they teachable? In other words, after we've talked about something, has anything set in? Or do we have to talk about the same subject we talked about last time we got together? And they just keep rehashing that over and over. And so I look for those three things. Are they hungry? Are they available? And are they teachable? And those are the ones that I ultimately would end up saying a long-term yes to. But there is some things that go on beforehand to figure out what are those things that are in that person's life.
Mm-hmm. Leah? Can you speak into that, as you've had women talk to you about that? And I know for women it tends to be different. What are some of the things that you have looked at other women at and thought about in terms of characteristics that you would like to see in their lives?
Probably very much the same. I think often women have asked for time, and generally I will learn pretty quickly where it's going to go by always wanting to, yes, spend time and get to know them, but give a small assignment or request that they would do something and then contact me when they were ready to talk about it. When it's someone that really wants to grow and be discipled, they'll bite on that and they'll get right back with me and said, I've done this. Can we get back together again? Then I know I have someone that really is serious and genuinely interested in growing, not just a friendship. And, you know, you're right. It is different with women, I think, because I can say to someone, you know, sure, let's get together and have coffee sometime or every now and then, you know, and just would love to catch up with you and hear how things are going and not try to make it something that it's really not. But when it really is a hungry heart that wants to grow in the Lord, then we zero in on that. And it's been amazing. You know, you don't really know until you just meet and find out, you know, what direction it's going to go in.
So as you think about how to be intentional, this is either one of you guys can answer this, but what does that look like for you as you move into moving from first meeting and getting to know them and understanding a little bit of their story. How do you transition to become more intentional in this discipling relationship?
I think that's more, for me, it's been more of a sharing life on life.
Okay.
So it's first of all, I want to hear their story of faith, where they are spiritually, to find out whether we start with the gospel. And even if they have experienced the gospel, I like to review that. And then where they are in maybe some habits that they already have in the Word. But I think it's pretty much, I want to really start with some of the old navigator tools, like the assurances, the assurance lessons, so that they'll know in the Word of God why they can be confident in their salvation, in their prayer life, in their victory over temptation and in forgiveness and in guidance. And so we spend some time on those promises that we can hold fast to. And then it just kind of depends on how hungry they are, how intentional they are on their own to pursue, even without being asked to do certain things, whether or not we can move into, are you ready, you think, to pass this on to someone else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Jesus is doing in your life, because you've been faithful to seek him and love him, others need to be helped along the same way. And so it's different with each one.
Yeah.
And it should be,
yeah,
right? Very
exactly.
Individual.
Exactly. Well, for you listening, we'll drop those five assurances that Leah's are talking about into our show notes and or on the website. You'll be able to see that. They are effective tools to help us think about these five real areas that you begin life, our Christian life in. So, like I said, we'll drop those. And Terry, how about you? What does that look like for you as you meet with men?
Well, if it looks like it's going to be a relationship where the person is serious and really wants to grow, then I usually would start with what I would consider to be a short assignment. In other words, the question would be, would you like to do something over a short term, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and see just exactly how this might look? And as that person is both available and teachable in those, we've kept our commitments to each other. At the end of that, they would give that person a time to say, well, it's been fun, but I don't think I want to continue this, or what else can we do? You can kind of pick up the hunger at that point and say, no, I want more. And so that's basically what I look for, is that instead of me asking them or just offering information, is to ask more questions as opposed to just giving answers, getting them into the Scripture, having them actually dig things up. I'm meeting with a guy right now. In fact, I had a phone call with him, and he's in Chicago, and had a phone call with him for about 30 minutes just the other morning. This guy actually was a pastor for a short amount of time, and I basically started him back with those assurance verses talk, because I wanted to know where he came from. Not just did he want to know something else, but what did he build his faith on? So it really helped him. And at first I thought that was going to be too basic for him. But he said, no, he says, I'm really enjoying this. And so I think those are the things that we just can't take for granted. So go back to the beginning, find out where they're from, what's really on their heart, and move in that direction.
Yeah.
But that's small steps, short steps.
That's really good. Now, I know you guys run the Marriage Getaway here. It's a marriage retreat. I want to have you talk about that in a second. But how do you, in the midst of this, you both have kind of separate, in a sense, ministries. That, Leah, you're meeting with women. Terry, you're meeting with guys. And I think there's a part of this that you almost have to divide and conquer, kind of a thing. How do you partner with your spouse in the midst of this personal ministry as they are discipling, and you know, how do you help each other become successful and not run over each other in the midst of the busyness of life?
Well, we try to look at each other's schedules. We sit down and say, what's going on next week, and who are you meeting with, and I try to adjust, and Leah tries to adjust our schedules so we give the other person the freedom to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So if something else is going on in our personal life that can be taken care of, then I just try to free Leah up to say, yes, you know, you go do that, I'll handle this, so we're not bumping into each other or colliding over schedules. So that's really helped. And then we also pray about those meetings before each of those meetings take place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great question that I want to ask. So before you get together, and this either one of you can answer or both of you, be fun to hear, what are some of the things that you do before you actually meet with the individual?
Well, for sure. You mean when we do it one-on-one?
Yeah.
Before I meet with my gal, I pray for her and I review my notes. And I always tell the gals when I meet with them, I've got a notebook here and I'm going to be just jotting down some notes. I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I want to remember.
Yeah.
The names of your husband, the name of your husband, the names of your children.
Yeah.
I want to remember what you've shared with me about your week and what I can be praying for. So I'll review that before I meet with her again, and then I'll spend a few minutes, I don't know if you want me to go into my time with her, but and reviewing a little bit about where she's been since we talked last. And
that's good.
Then move forward. Because it's so important that it be personal.
Yeah.
And that she not feel like a project.
Mm.
And I've had too many, heard too many stories about people who have felt like someone invested in their life just long enough to check them off the list, and then they never heard from them again.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart. Because anyone that God brings into my life to invest in there's a relationship that results from that. That doesn't mean we have to meet every week, but it means we stay in touch and that they know I will always care for them because God brought us together. So to me, that's critical.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about this before the show, but I had breakfast with a young couple. Well, they're not so much young anymore, but their kids are up at camp and they're spending the week here decompressing, some time alone with God. But it was so fun because I heavily invested into his life, and then they had met at Eagle Lake and then subsequently got married. But it was fun to see how quickly we are able to catch up, and like things hadn't changed in, you know, the 20 some odd years we had not been together. So, and we had kept up, and I had seen them over the years a couple times, but I think, rightly so, Leah, when you say when we give our lives to someone, the way Paul talked about in Thessalonians, how we as a mother and a father and as a brother, co-laborer, you give your heart, and I think as you invest in time for your treasures, there your heart will be also, and so it's so fun to see some of our the folks that we've raised up come back around and doing so well and sometimes struggling too. So
it's real life.
Terry, what does that look like for you before you meet with the men you're going to be with? What do you go through? What are some of the things that you're thinking about?
Well, I try to just preview what is on our schedule, whatever we've said we were going to discuss or whatever the assignment was. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to do is just always be dragging from past knowledge. So I'll usually review whatever those scriptures are or that section of scripture. What did we tell each other we were going to come with? In most cases, it's reviewing some scriptures and those types of things. And then trying to get in my own mind that it's not about me, that we're there together. We have a relationship, and we want to be as real and honest as we can in that relationship. And I think it usually ends up being that way. I think that also frees the person up. Those that are kind of on the borderline, do they really want to be continuing? It almost gives them an exit whenever we get together and chat about those things. And we said we were going to do those, and then we show up at the meeting and we haven't done those things.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we figure out pretty quickly that this probably isn't going to last.
Yeah.
But my preparation is on my part, and I just want to be prepared no matter what happens when we get to that meeting.
Yeah. Boy, that is good. I think in this day and age, it's so easy to move into in and out of relationships without spending the kind of prayer, time in prayer that we need in order to engage the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ as well. What a great conversation with Terry and Leah Green, talking about some real-life practical habits and tools that not only stay healthy in marriage, but as you disciple others and lead a family. Terry and Leah share the impact of discipleship on their own lives and its influence on their marriage, raising kids, and ultimately how they choose to live day to day. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, this learning community, and feel encouraged and equipped. And if the idea of ripple effect disciple making is a topic you want to learn more about, or if you want further resources on the topic of marriage, parenting, and being a disciple maker, head over to our website at www.theapprenticeapproach.org. Oh, and be on the lookout for some guest posts from Terry and Leah. Again, for more on The Apprentice Approach, including other podcast episodes, resources, our blog, or to sign up for emails, visit our website, theapprenticeapproach.org. And if you haven't subscribed to The Apprentice Approach podcast in iTunes, do it today. Until next time, this is your host, Jack McQueenie, believing God for generations of men and women like you.